Daily Readings and Remembrances, a ministry of the Orthodox Christian Network.
The reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 through 16. Brethren, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is well that the heart be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited their adherents. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, but the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Today's Gospel is according to St. John, chapter 7, verses 14 through 30. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled at it, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man's will is to do his will, he shall know whether the teacher is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is not falsehood. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The people answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one deed, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man upon the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? Yet we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed, as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come of my own accord. Yet he who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they sought to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. On this day, the 2nd of May, we commemorate the removal of the relics of St. Athanasius the Great. In the half century after the First Ecumenical Council held in Nicaea in 325, if there was one man whom the Arians feared and hated more intensely than any other as being able to lay bare the whole error of their teaching and to marshal even from exile or hiding the beleaguered forces of the Orthodox, it was St. Athanasius the Great. This blazing lamp of orthodoxy, which imperial power and heretics' plots could not quench when he shone upon the lampstand, nor find when he was hid by the people and monks of Egypt, was born in Alexandria about the year 296. He received an excellent training in Greek letters and especially in the sacred scriptures, of which he shows an exceptional knowledge in his writings. Even as a young man, he had a remarkable depth of theological understanding. He was only about 20 years old when he wrote his treatise on the Incarnation. St. Alexander, the Archbishop of Alexandria, brought him up in piety, ordained him his deacon, and after deposing Arius for his blasphemy against the divinity of the Son of God, took Athanasius to the First Council of Nicaea in 325. St. Athanasius was to spend the remainder of his life laboring in defense of this holy council. In 326 before his death, Alexander appointed Athanasius his successor. In 325, Arius had been condemned by the Council of Nicaea. Yet, through Arius' hypocritical confession of the Orthodox belief, St. Constantine the Great was persuaded by Arius' supporters that he should be received back into the communion of the Church. But Athanasius, knowing well the perverseness of his mind and the disease of heresy lurking in his heart, refused communion with Arius. The heresiarch's followers then began framing false charges against Athanasius. Finally, St. Constantine the Great, misled by grave charges of the saint's misconduct, which were completely false, had him exiled to Tiberias in Gaul in 336. When St. Constantine was succeeded by his three sons, Constantine II, Constans, and Constantius, in 337, St. Athanasius returned to Alexandria in triumph. But his enemies found an ally in Constantius, Emperor of the East. St. Athanasius's second exile was spent in Rome. It was ended when Constans prevailed with threats upon his brother Constantius to restore Athanasius. For 10 years, St. Athanasius strengthened Orthodoxy throughout Egypt, visiting the whole country and encouraging all, clergy, monastics, and lay folk, being loved by all as a father. But after Constans' death in 350, Constantius became sole emperor, and Athanasius was again in danger. In the evening of February 8, 356, General Syrianus, with more than 5,000 soldiers, surrounded the church in which Athanasius was serving and broke open the doors. Athanasius's clergy begged him to leave, but the good shepherd commanded that all the flock should withdraw first, and only when he was assured of their safety, he also, protected by divine grace, passed through the midst of the soldiers and disappeared into the deserts of Egypt, where for some 6 years he eluded the soldiers and spies sent after him. When Julian the Apostate succeeded Constantius in 361, Athanasius returned again, but only for a few months. Because Athanasius had converted many pagans, and the priests of the idols in Egypt wrote to Julian that if Athanasius remained, idolatry would perish in Egypt, the heathen emperor ordered not Athanasius' exile, but his death. Athanasius took ship up the Nile. When he learned that his imperial pursuers were following him, he had his men turn back, and as his boat passed that of his pursuers, they asked him if he had seen Athanasius. "He is not far," he answered. After returning to Alexandria for a while, he fled again to the Thebaid until Julian's death in 363. St. Athanasius suffered his fifth and last exile under Valens in 365, which only lasted 4 months because Valens, fearing a sedition among the Egyptians for their beloved archbishop, revoked his edict in February 366. The great Athanasius passed the remaining 7 years of his life in peace. Of his 57 years as patriarch, he had spent some 17 in exiles. Shining from the height of his throne like a radiant evening star and enlightening the Orthodox with the brilliance of his words for yet a little while, this much-suffering champion inclined toward the sunset of his life and in the year 373 took his rest from his lengthy sufferings, but not before another luminary of the truth, Basil the Great, had risen in the East, being consecrated Archbishop of Caesarea in 370. Besides all his other achievements, St. Athanasius wrote the life of St. Anthony the Great, with whom he spent time in his youth, ordained St. Frumentius, first bishop of Ethiopia, and in his paschal encyclical for the year 367, set forth the books of the Old and New Testaments accepted by the Church as canonical. St. Gregory the Theologian, in his oration on the great Athanasius, said that he was angelic in appearance, more angelic in mind, rebuking with the tenderness of a father, praising with the dignity of a ruler. Everything was harmonious as an air upon a single lyre, and in the same key, his life, his teaching, his struggles, his dangers, his return, and his conduct after his return, be treated so mildly and gently those who had injured him, that even they themselves, if I may say so, did not find his restoration distasteful. Copyright Holy Transfiguration Monastery, Brookline, Massachusetts, used by permission, all rights reserved. The preceding daily Bible readings and lives of the saints were automatically generated by the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America's online chapel initiative and used with permission. They are produced by the Orthodox Christian Network. You can also receive these daily readings online via email, Facebook, or on your mobile phone by visiting www.goarch.org and www.myocn.net. If you enjoy listening to Readings and Remembrances, please consider donating to continue its production so it can be shared with the faithful throughout the world. You can do so by visiting our website at www.myocn.net or by calling us at 954-522-5567.